Welcome to the 618 Now, a production of the Chamber of Commerce and the O'Fallon Weekly, where we give you a snapshot of what's happening right now in O'Fallon and Shiloh. So Jessica, what's going on this week?
One of the most impressive parts of the Super Bowl, I think, is the pregame flyover. It gives me chills every time.
Definitely. I've always wondered how they time them just so perfectly.
Well, actually, there is a really cool connection between the pregame flyovers and O'Fallon.
Really?
Yes. The chief of the Air Combat Command Aerial Events Branch for the United States Air Force, he grew up here.
No way.
Yep. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Chris McAleer, and he and his team are responsible for scheduling, coordinating, and executing these precise flyovers. And for the Super Bowl, he personally serves as the ground coordinator who vectors the aircraft when they're doing the actual flyover.
Cool.
No offense to the other demonstration teams like, I don't know, the Thunderbirds. But I think you could argue that Chris and his team are the resident experts on timing these. So the goal is for the planes to be flying over the stadium as the national anthem performer is singing the words and the home of the brave.
That's very specific.
It is. And hearing him describe all of the factors that have to be considered is fascinating. For instance, when all of the planes in formation are the same aircraft, that does make it a little easier. They can all go the same speed, they have the same turn radius, and it's just generally easier to make last-minute adjustments.
Okay.
But this year, they had what's called a heritage flight, and all five planes were different. And you have to adjust the capabilities of the slowest plane to those of the fastest plane. And that just adds like an incredibly difficult layer to the planning.
Hmm.
And the five planes in this year's flyover represented different eras from the Air Force's over 75 years of service. So there was a World War II P-51 Mustang, and the newest plane was the modern day F-35 Lightning.
Okay.
And then prior to the actual day, they have spent months getting FAA waivers to fly lower. They've worked really closely with local airports to clear the airspace and, you know, like have contingency plans.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was no small feat this year because LAX is the third busiest airport in the world. And SoFi Stadium is less than 2 miles from LAX. And, you know, these airports aren't generally like, oh, yeah, sure. I mean, we can stop passenger traffic and displace thousands of travelers to accommodate a 20-second performance.
I mean, I know that's not quite how it goes, but sometimes when I fly, it feels that way. But anyway.
Well, I can tell you, that's not at all how it goes. Lieutenant Colonel McAleer does a great job communicating that these flyovers are a combination of tactical planning, but also public relations. You have to make and maintain very good relationships with everybody involved. So you've got the local community, the FAA, the NFL, NBC, and then even within the Air Force, because these planes and pilots are coming from different units and different bases. Some of the pilots are demonstration pilots who have a lot of experience with these types of performances. And sometimes the pilots are combat pilots, and they function, well, a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
The actual flyover is science, but I would say that the entire programming to make it happen is actually an art. And as you get closer to the Super Bowl, the schedule starts sort of falling into place. There are a lot of meetings to nail down the pregame show. And then there's supposed to be this drop-dead like, okay, no more changes after this. But then something always changes.
Well, of course. Exactly.
Last year, for example, President Biden and the First Lady added in a moment of silence to recognize the lives lost to COVID. And 1 minute doesn't seem like a lot, but when you've planned a program, literally down to the second, it's a game changer. Even up until the moment the national anthem starts, schedule changes are affecting the timing. Lieutenant Colonel McAleer is using the singer's timing and where they are in the song to communicate to the pilot. So if the person is singing at the twilight's last gleaming, he's on the radio saying, you're 75 seconds out. And then the pilots are adjusting sort of to that.
Wow.
Isn't that neat?
That is neat.
Also, if any of the planes in the formation are bombers, like during last year's Super Bowl, the United States has to notify other countries as part of a treaty where the bombers are. So any changes to takeoff or landing, let's say maybe due to weather, this can become very complicated really quickly.
That's really crazy. And the person coordinating all of this is from O'Fallon.
Yep. He attended elementary and middle school here, and he considers O'Fallon his second home. He's been back several times over the years. And if you know the Hersey family, he's basically their fifth child.
Oh, wow.
And fun fact, for his Eagle Scout project, he coordinated the installation of one of the walking trails at the park.
Interesting.
He's been part of 3 Super Bowl flyovers, but last week's performance was his last as he's retiring from the Air Force after 21 years of service. So, Chris, great job on executing these incredible performances, and thank you for your decades of military service. You have a proud O'Fallon community celebrating you.
Definitely. And if you're interested in hearing firsthand from Lieutenant Colonel McAleer about his experience at this year's Super Bowl, we will link to an interview he gave for the Afterburn podcast in the show notes. So, Jessica, what else is happening?
Okay, so completely switching gears. Question for you. Okay. What do Dolly Parton and the O'Fallon Library have in common?
I mean, women over 40 both seem to really love them, but otherwise, I don't know.
Okay. Well, both are helping O'Fallon and Shiloh kids learn how to read.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to explain that one to me a little bit.
The Friends of the Library, which is a group dedicated to fundraising to help support programs at the O'Fallon Public Library, they are sponsoring 100 kids with Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. It's a program where kids receive one age-appropriate book in the mail every month from birth through age 5. And so far, over 174 million books have been gifted through Dolly Parton's program. And soon, quite a few of those local kids in our community will be receiving these gifts of literacy in the mail, too.
Well, that's really neat. I like hearing that. They do a lot of really great stuff over there at the library. This is just another one that we can add to their extensive resume.
Absolutely.
So what's on the calendar for this week?
Tuesday, February 22nd from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. is Dine to Donate at Peel in downtown O'Fallon. This event supports Special Olympics of Southern Illinois and officers with the O'Fallon Police Department, as well as some athletes with the Special Olympics, will be in hand to greet customers from 4 until 8. Tony, he's one of my favorite athletes. I think you know Tony.
I know Tony. He's a great guy.
He's going to be there. Perfect. He is a hoot. And he gave a radio interview recently where he said he was racing in an event, but he lost the event because he got distracted by all the girls.
Sounds like Tony.
Sounds like Tony. But he also said that one of the best parts about Special Olympics is seeing the parents as they watch their child who has intellectual disabilities participate in a sporting event, which is something that they may never have thought possible. So Tony's going to be there, and I'm excited about that. You do have to show a flyer so that a percentage of sales goes towards the cause, and we'll link to that in the show notes.
And we also printed the flyer in this week's O'Fallon Weekly as
you
well.
Sure did.
So,
yep.
Folks can
grab
a copy of that and take that in as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Also on the calendar, Wednesday, March 2nd is one of O'Fallon's largest social events, and that is the Empty Bowl Luncheon. That is from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that will be held at Gateway Classic Cars, and we're going to cover that in more detail in next week's episode.
Okay.
And then on Sunday, March 6th is the Top of the Morning. I tried to say that in my best Irish accent.
Top of the Morning.
The Top of the Morning 5K.
You can't do it. Just move on.
I can't. Which is the Metro East's largest attended 5K event. Tulin's Running Start in Shiloh is a family-owned business. Sean and his dad and brothers do a great job of keeping local runners in good condition for races and competitions. And this Irish-themed 5K is really fun. I've done it for several years. They have a great crowd and lots to do. They will have post-race refreshments and entertainment. It usually includes some Irish dancers. They've got pancakes, pizza, and a lot more. You do not have to be a runner to enjoy this. It is basically, if I'm being real honest, a parking lot party with a race thrown in. And we will link to that flyer and the race registration in the show notes.
Maybe I'll show up in my kilt.
You should. You should.
I mean, you know, I could come out there rocking the kilt.
Perfect time to wear it.
I mean, I don't have many times that I can wear it and not get stared at. So
you would fit perfectly in at this 5K. All
right.
So I'll see you there.
I'll break out the kilt. All right, Jessica. Well, unless you have anything else on the agenda, I've got to get going.
That's all I've got. Thanks, Nick. It's always a pleasure.
This podcast is a production of the O'Fallon Shiloh Chamber of Commerce. We're a nonprofit with over 600 members, and together we welcome, unite, and promote business. Remember, you can't buy happiness, but you can buy local, and that's sort of the same thing.